Good morning. Welcome to each one. Not sure what I have here might be a little bit short. We'll see how it goes, but I think some of us have a fair bit of church to do today yet with music camp, so probably won't complain if we're done here early, but hopefully there's some truths for us. So the message is the faithful sons of Korah. Naomi kind of got me on this the other week. I mean, I think I knew there were psalms that were accredited to the sons of Korah, but I'm not sure if I ever really connected the dots. So what's the backstory? Korah was a cousin to Moses, who would have been a Levite, and he, along with Dathan and Abiram, led a revolt against Moses. And how the earth opened and swallowed the rebels is likely a story that we remember from childhood. And possibly the pictures that went with it. So let's read some of it in Numbers 16. There's 50 verses in this chapter. I don't think I'm going to read it all, because next you're going to be like, this guy is just trying to read a lot of Bible here to make the sermon longer. So I don't think that's... I'm just kind of trying to... But I want to give you bit of the context of the story here too. So let's start at verse 1. Now Korah the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On the son of Peleth, took sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" So when Moses heard this, he fell on his face. So pretty much these guys came and they were like, "So, who made you in charge?" And I think the thought is that possibly Korah was envious or desirous of Moses and Aaron's position. So, long story short, they were supposed to take their censers and... Then God had warned them to get away from the tents, and then the earth, then later in the chapter, the earth swallowed it and swallowed them. There was actually quite a bit. It wasn't just the 250. There was, because at verse 41 till 50, you see there was the next day the congregation complained, and there was like a plague that killed a whole bunch as well. So thinking how God often judges, or and how God operates, you think of stories like Achan with Jericho. I think pretty much the whole family was wiped out. So you would have thought, okay, this Korah did this, and the family would have got wiped out. But not so. So if you go over to Numbers 26, there's the heading in my Bible calls it the second census of Israel. And let's maybe read 9 to 11. The sons of Eliab were Nemuel, Dathan, and Abiram. These are the Dathan and Abiram, representatives of the congregation who contended against Moses and Aaron in the company of Korah when they contended against the Lord. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah when that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. Then verse 11, "Nevertheless, the children of Korah did not die." So there you have that tidbit. And so... There's also the thought that maybe these guys were too young to be part of the rebellion. But so the names of the three were Aser, Elkanah, and Abiasaph, or the names of the three sons of Korah. So what are some lessons for us from the sons of Korah? And I think there's got 3 points that I'd kind of like to look at, and for this we'll be reading some of the Psalms of the sons of Korah. So if we go over to, I think there was 11 Psalms, there was like 11 Psalms in total. We're not going to be reading all of them, but so number one, your past does not define you. Each of us have things in our past that we're not proud about, or that we may feel in some way define us, but do we realize that God's grace is bigger than our past or family history? The sons of Korah made a conscious decision not to be counted with their father, to rather be on Moses' or God's side. And let's read Psalm 44. Heading in my Bible, we call it redemption, remembered in present dishonor. And in this psalm, you can kind of listen for some of the things that they might have been dealing with, or hopefully had dealt with. Psalm 44. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out. For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and because you favored them. You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. Through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever, Selah. But you have cast us off and put us to shame. And you do not go with our armies. You make us turn back from the enemy, and those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. You have given us up like sheep intended for food and have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people for next to nothing and are not enriched by selling them. You make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to all those around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a shaking of the head among peoples. My dishonor is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me, because of the voice of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, nor have we dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. But you have severely broken us in the place of jackals and covered us with the shadow of death. If we had forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hand to a foreign God, would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Yet for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our souls bow down to the dust, our bodies cling to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake. I think some New Testament verses for us to claim would be in Philippians 3 and 12 and 14. Not that I have already attained, or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of Christ, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Number two is from broken to worship. God used the sons of Korah, and he will use you and I today if we allow him to. A broken and less than amazing past, but these sons became worship leaders and wrote some of the most poignant psalms. So something else that happened this week that I thought kind of actually would fit in here, because I think it's just, this past week, Brian Dirksen, a Canadian singer-songwriter, passed away at age 60 after battling with stage 4 cancer. His songs have blessed and inspired thousands of believers worldwide. But the lyrics of what was likely his most popular song, I think, kind of fit the point here. And I think it's probably even something that the sons of Korah understood. And that is, come, now is the time to worship. It says, one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. This is a challenge to me. It's a challenge that I need, because it can be hard sometimes in the broken to come and worship. I think we can maybe hear some of this in Psalm 42. Let's read Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. My God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. A prayer to God in my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say unto me all day long, where is your God? Why art thou disquieted? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So, and Psalm 45 is another beautiful psalm that I want to read here. Just before that, I wanted to mention, possibly by this time, what I gathered, maybe by David's time, the Korahites were maybe some kind of musicians or worship leaders. And if we go over to, you'll find this note in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 19, there's a situation of the Lord being for the children of Israel, and then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they must have been to music camp. But anyway, they were obviously singers and worship leaders. And Psalm 45 is kind of a beautiful psalm. It possibly was written for a present-day wedding, but it's obviously talking about the King of Kings. Let's read it. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one. With your glory and your majesty, and in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And in your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh, aloes, and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad, king's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stand the queen and gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty because he is your lord. Worship him. The daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. With gladness and rejoicing, they shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. Thinking of from broken to worship, there's a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Don't tell me about your grand cathedrals with all the splendor of their architecture. The best altar in the world is a broken and contrite heart. The truest cathedral is a soul rejoicing in the indwelling God. Is this you and I today? And my third point is fulfillment in service. So Korah's sons, instead of fighting for more prominence, like it would appear their father would have, they were happy to be doorkeepers in the house of the Lord. And we can read Psalm 84. Let's read Psalm 84 at this time. Very popular psalm, well known. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Zelah. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk upwardly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And from what you read, I would say in this psalm, it's not like the sons of Korah were just like, oh, we better, you know, they're performing this service out of mandatory obligation because, you know, we don't want to die like dad did. It was their heart was towards God, and I like that wording in verse 5, whose heart is set on pilgrimage, or you know, their eyes are towards heaven or following through on their spiritual journey. And then verse 10, probably one of the better known verses in the Psalms, for your days courts is better than 1,000, and rather be a doorkeeper or a janitor in today's lingo. So recapping, the story of the sons of Korah is one of God's mercy and redemption. Turning a broken situation into something beautiful. Of these men being used mightily for God because of their humility and faithfulness. But amazingly, this can be our story in 2026 as well, as if we allow the same God to take our brokenness and turn it into worship and something beautiful. God bless. Thank you.